listening to Women Who Change Tech, the podcast that gives you access to women who are contributing, inspiring, trailblazing, and disrupting the business of technology. We believe that when women inspire other women, amazing things happen. I'm your host, Allison Wade.
And I am your host, Jessie Sterenshoes, and we are connecting women around the world to share ideas that help us thrive and advance in our personal lives and in our careers.
Be sure to share this podcast with your friends, rate and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and help us bring Women Who Change Tech into the lives of more professionals.
Hold on to your seats as we give you a dose of inspiration from some of the most talented and creative women who are shifting the face of technology.
Hi, Jessie. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you?
Really good. What have you been up to?
Well, this past week I was doing some work at the zoo, actually, and I've been enjoying working on a project with them, but they have their HR totally hidden in the back behind their big dinosaur exhibit. So I had to go through all this camo mesh stuff to try and find the gate and the entrance to the HR. And I kept thinking to myself, like, just a normal day in the life of Jessie and her random clients.
Jungle Jessie.
Jungle Jessie. So, yeah. And I got to see some warthogs and I got to see the new Africa exhibit that's going to be there, which is going to be amazing. I got to see a rescued manatee. Not bad, you know, for a day's work. They all needed some training. So
yeah, when you get to see creatures like that with your clients, that's pretty incredible. You have some of the most amazing clients. You really do.
Thank you. I love training warthogs. It's my specialty. What have you been up to?
Add that to your resume.
Yeah, it's on my LinkedIn page.
Trainer.
Yeah. Yes. Specialist.
Well, since we last recorded, we need to tell our audience we got to spend the evening together in Chicago.
Yes.
It was a miracle. Like Jessie and I are always like all over the cross paths, but we were both in Chicago at the same time.
Yep.
And we met with our friend Mark Rickmeyer from Table XI.
Yes, we did.
We had some drinks with him and also one of your other amazing clients in Chicago. And then Jessie and I like walked along the river and had dinner and went to the beautiful Lake Michigan afterwards, and it was like one of those summer nights in Chicago where everything was perfect.
It seriously was. It was so pretty, like with the boats and the geese, and yeah, it was super romantic is what I'm trying to say.
The date you have when you're not having a date.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Like the weather was beautiful. The flowers were blooming. It was just absolutely
chirping.
Birds were chirping. It was just magical. And then we went to the Chicago Athletic Club, and that looks back over out to Lake Michigan, and the moon was full and it was like shining on Lake Michigan, and it was just gorgeous, wasn't it?
It really was. We couldn't stop taking pictures. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, Jessie and I ran all around Chicago with these. We look like tourists with our cameras taking pictures everywhere.
Fanny
it was crazy.
Packs. We didn't have fanny packs, but we might as well have.
Don't talk about my fanny packs.
I'll save that for another episode. Anyway.
Anyway, I am really looking forward to introducing our audience to Dawn Jardine. She is from Toronto, Canada, much colder place than Florida, but kind of close to Chicago. She describes herself as a quality assurance professional, an agile enthusiast, a writer, and a speaker. And she has spoken at some of our conferences. And she spends her days improving quality process for continuous delivery. And I'm really looking forward to introducing her today.
I can't wait to meet her.
All right, let's get started. I wanted to introduce everyone today to Dawn Jardine, our guest today. She is a woman who is breaking down barriers. She has done that in her own life and hopes to help other women in tech do the same. I first met Dawn when she attended our Woman Who Test conference at Star West and then again at Star Canada. And Dawn told me that she'd applied many of the things that she'd learned at the Woman Who Test Day, and it inspired her to make some huge changes in her career path. And since then, she's opened up a chapter in Toronto and she's run some events for women. So I'm really excited to have her here today to talk to us about her own career path changes and the things that she's doing in the Toronto area to help support other women in tech. Welcome, Dawn.
Hello. Good morning. Thanks thank you for having me here. It's great to be able to join you this morning.
Awesome. So Dawn, we're going to jump right in and we would love for you to tell us a little bit about what your journey's been like and how you got into testing.
Yeah. So I've been involved in software for over 18 years now, and in particular testing. And prior to that, when I was a young mother and was raising my children, I was doing some instructing in an adult education. And I decided to go back to school and learn technology because that was the thing at that time. It's like everybody needs to learn how to use computers. Mm-hmm. So I changed my career direction and I went into IT.
Nice. How did you come up with that idea? Just because people were doing that around you, or where did that idea come from?
Yeah, well, I saw my children were young in school and they were already using computers. And I was that generation that we really like, we used to type on typewriters. So, mm-hmm.
I'm right there with you, Dawn.
Yeah, it seemed to be the thing to do. And it did interest me as well. So I thought, you know, I need to think about how I want to go forward in my career. So that's what I did. And I got my first role after I did my training, I got my first role as a front-end web developer for a little small company, software e-learning company. And that's my career took off from there. I've been in test ever since.
Nice. Did you have any mentors or anything early on when you had your first role?
You know, I think about that. And I know at one of my second or third jobs that I had a test manager that was very energetic and she was very supportive, and anything that I tried to do or wanted to do to explore different ways of doing things, she was very much about giving me autonomy. And I still remember her. I see her from time to time. She still is in the city here and I still stay in touch with her. And she did provide an opportunity for me to explore and to be able to, yeah, just to have that autonomy.
So Dawn, over the years, you said you started as a front-end web developer, but you moved into test. Was that because you felt like test was more in your niche? Did you like test more? What was it you liked about being a software tester that made you move into that role?
You know,
was it just because it was available, or?
Well, at the time, I as a developer, I was one of the few women in the profession at that time. And also at our little company, the testers that they had weren't very technical, and they needed somebody on that team that had an understanding of how things worked behind the scenes. And I did, mm-hmm. it did interest me. I always was a bit of a perfectionist and I took pains to make sure my code was a certain way. And I didn't like when I had, when someone would come to me and say something wasn't working right. And I thought, you know, I'd like to be able to just spend more time doing that. So when I was approached to join their team, I jumped at the chance. And yeah, it was, it kind of suited me more than the development aspect of it. And that's how I got into it.
Awesome. And then the additional roles that you've taken on in testing over the years, you know, I know you've worked at some other companies and corporations, some large corporations mm-hmm. on the way up. You want to tell us what you did in testing at those large corporations?
Yeah. So as I matured in my testing career and in my techniques and learning, becoming a better and more efficient tester, I had the opportunity to work with several projects. Here in Canada, we have a large retail company called Canadian Tire. I was able to work in their home office, working with their HR department, doing some of the e-learning and training, online training there as a tester. I knew some French, and so I was also able to help out with that as well. But don't ask me now to say anything in French because
I was just about to ask you.
Yeah, no. So I helped out there. And up until recently, I had worked for American Express. Their membership rewards program helped with the testing there. And recently, I worked at the Walmart Canada online, their online retail site as well, their e-commerce. And I worked at that e-commerce, in that e-commerce niche for quite a while, became a subject matter expert. And yeah, I was involved in some really great projects that I'm very proud of.
Mm-hmm. Nice. How do you like being in large corporations versus something smaller? Do you have a preference?
You know, it all depends of the culture. It all depends mm-hmm. on the culture of the company. Some of the bigger corporations, we, especially I'm thinking about Canadian Tire, because I think it had that family start. It started, I believe, I don't know how many years now. I think they just had their anniversary, 75 years or something. And it started as a very small company. So they kind of kept that culture. So even though it was quite large, there was still that feeling of family. And I liked that. I don't think I have a preference. I think it, like I say, it all depends about the culture and how people treat each other within the company themselves and how each department works with one another. So,
well, Dawn, as I said, you were first at Women Who Test at Star West, and then I met you again at Star Canada, and you came up and approached me and told me that you'd made like a sort of drastic change in your life, and that part of that was some of the things that came out of that day helped you realign what you wanted to do with your life. And you made a big change in the role that you had in the company, and you took some time, some really intentional time to do that. And I think one of the things that we say at Women in Test is that some people spend more time intentionally planning their vacation than they do their career. And sometimes that reflection on what you really want to do is hard to make space and time for that. But you really did that in a meaningful way. And you kind of did a complete turnaround in what you wanted to do. So walk us through that.
Yeah. So at the time, I was a test leader for a particular client at a company, and I felt very bruised in my spirit. It was becoming a daily drudgery, and I didn't seem to be able to have that autonomy or respect. And I was at a very low point in my career, and I really didn't know how to change it. You know, it was a financially stable job. It was a good position in the industry, but I was really unhappy, and I was feeling a bit helpless, to say the least. So I attended the Star West conference in California, and I actually was a speaker there for one of the concurrent sessions. I was talking about exploratory testing and automation testing and how to combine that to have the coverage that you need on a project. And I joined for the very first time. I joined the Women Who Test event on the last day of the conference, and I hadn't known about that. And so I joined that event, and I found myself surrounded by this group of women of all ages and skill, and I was hearing that they were dealing with the same challenges as I was, and it was so encouraging, and I felt very supported. And so the defining moment for me was during the Building Your Personal Brand for Success session that Jennifer Bonin has at your sessions of Women Who Test at the conferences. And she started talking about your personal brand statement. And she presented us with a handout, and I actually went through my papers this morning, and I found it. I found the poster. It's a couple of years old now.
Awesome.
Yes, and I was looking at it, and it's a poster of photos. It's about certain photos that represent goals in your life. And I was looking at the photos, and she told us, she said, look at those, and I want to look at those photos and think about where you want to be in your personal and professional life. And we had sticky notes, and she said, I want you to write down on the sticky notes some things that you want to look forward to doing, and perhaps maybe when you go to a reunion in 5 or 10 years' time, you will be able to tell those people these are some things that you've done. So I did that. I had to think about where I wanted to be, and that was very hard because at that time in my life, I was in a low point, and I really thought, how am I going to do this? What do I have to look forward to? But I engage in that exercise, and I wrote down some things, and I'm looking right now at one of the sticky notes, and one of them says, I took control of my career. Mm-hmm. And I saw that this morning. I'm like, my goodness, what a moment. And it really was empowering. And I realized that I could change my circumstances, and it gave me hope for the future.
Mm. What kinds of pictures did you put on there?
Well, there was like the poster that she hands out has some pictures already printed. And some of them are, it has a woman laying on the beach with the sun in her sun in her face. There's there's the skyline of a city. There's the Taj Mahal. There's a man standing with his chest, like his shirt open with his chest with Superman on it. Just, you know, some very empowering photos of various events in people's lives. So, so it was a real chance to reflect and think about that, having that control and having that power to change things if we really believed in ourselves.
I've now done that exercise every time we do Woman Who Test, and every single time I find it just so beneficial. And the needle moves constantly because we're constantly changing what we want. But tell us, when you said you took control of your career and that felt really good, tell us what you did externally to take control of your career, and then what you did internally that changed to help you get to that place to take control of your career.
So after I came back from the STAR conference, I returned home with this new sense of self and strength. And so in the following months, I actually left that company. And I took some time to reflect. It was during the summer months. And I took time to reflect and regroup. And I made some changes in my professional career. I thought about what I wanted. I thought about, you know, what do I want to be doing? I knew I wanted to stay in the testing profession, but I also knew that I wanted to break away from that role of that hands-on day-to-day test part of it. And I wanted to be able to help people. Actually enjoy being a mentor. I enjoy being able to especially help women in our profession. You know, we are a male-dominated profession in technology. And I wanted to be able to be in a position where I could do that. And I especially wanted to be able to use my previous experience in testing, moving from waterfall to agile. I had all that experience of working on agile teams. And I thought, okay, you know what? The next position that I take, whether it's professional consulting or working for a company, I wanted to be able to have the autonomy and to be respected and work for a company and work in a position where I was able to use those skills. And so I took a couple of months and I didn't even apply for any jobs. I just spent time in self-care and just reflecting and making a very concerted effort to know what I wanted before I even ventured out into the job market again.
So did you seem like that woman that was laying on the beach? Is that kind of the image you had in your mind for yourself from your poster?
Yeah. You know, I thought she's laying there. She doesn't have a care in the world. She's actually has her eyes closed and is thinking. I did take some time in the sun for sure.
Perfect. Perfect. Nice.
That's awesome. It's awesome that you had the opportunity to do that. And, you know, I know that not all of our listeners have the opportunity to do that, like to sort of take that block of time. And so that was a super privilege. I think that everybody has the opportunity to reflect and you have to find that for yourself in small ways, whether it's taking a day on a weekend or getting away. I hear, and Dawn, you know, I know you've heard some of the same thing at Women Who Test, that like I've heard women say, I'm going to tell my family I'm going away for the weekend by myself. I'm going to get a hotel room on the beach and I'm going to sit in there and think about what it is that I want to do for me and for my job and my career, or how I want my life, how I want my goals and my reality to line up. And it's very rare, particularly, I mean, I know men suffer from this as well, but it is rare for women to take that time for themselves. Yes. It seems like we're always committed to our job, committed to our family, committed to everything else but to us. So it's awesome when you really do take that time.
Yes, for sure.
That you don't actually get committed in general. Yeah.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. You don't want it to end by actually being committed.
Exactly. Yeah. Because, I think I've needed to be committed. I think my family would have committed quite a few times, you know, get out of here, mom, go to the beach and relax before you get committed. Exactly.
Nice.
That's awesome. Well, so tell us about, after you found, I guess, you know, when I saw you, you said, I found like my dream job. I've got this job that I just love. So tell us what you did to find that job and what that job is.
So So I came to a point where it's like, okay, Dawn, you know what you want. Let's think about entering back into the workforce. I took a couple of months. It was towards the end of the summer. Actually, it was a year ago. Yes. Was it yesterday? The day before that I joined this new company. So I decided to reach out, do that regular, you know, you go online, you search for jobs. And I saw this one posting for test manager. And I thought, test manager? I don't know. It says, you know, I'm a QA manager. Should I even apply for this? What is this? What is this all about? And as I was reading the posting, it talked about a company that was doing this transformation and that they needed somebody to come in and help their testing team become more agile. And I thought, you know, maybe this is something that I can be good at and join this company. So I applied. They called me. They said, Dawn, would you come in and meet with our head of technology, and you can discuss this opportunity. So I went in, and it's funny, you know, when I got there, I met my current boss. We went in and sat down, and he started to explain to me about what he was trying to do. And it was like we had this instant rapport, I don't want to say I had an aha moment, but I just felt this sense of, my goodness, this is what I want to do. So we spent, a good hour talking about how we were going to go about doing this. They were in the middle of an agile transformation. They had been doing it for about a year, but their testing team needed to have that focus. So I walked out of there and I thought, oh my goodness, this is something I really want to do. And I think it was maybe the day later, they call me and I joined the company about 2 weeks later. And I've been there ever since as test manager for there's a team of about 50 testers, and I absolutely love what I do. I seriously get up in the morning and I'm thinking, you know, what am I going to do today? It's not without its challenges, of course. Any transformation is challenging, but it's probably one of the most rewarding things I've done.
Do you see yourself in any of the people that you're managing at all? Like people that maybe are just starting out being testers?
Yes. So this team has a whole range of skill sets. And of course, I've also hired people to come in and help as well. And especially with the young women, I see a real sense of need for mentorship. I've been able to create relationships with some of the younger women on my team. And some of the women my age as well, where we support one another. And yes, I do see myself in several of the people there, like when I started out, and I'm able to create this support network for them, not just as a test, as a manager for them, but also as a colleague, as a person that they can establish trust in. And yeah, no, it's a very rewarding position and a happier person. Because I can achieve those goals now. Mm-hmm. The sticky notes, right? One at a time. So it's very rewarding.
That's amazing. So you started a chapter, a Women Who Test chapter in Toronto. And I think I'm really impressed with how you did this, because you got the support of the company that you work for, Caseware. Yes. And they've been super helpful. And I know you have, how many women do you have on your team?
On the team at Caseware, myself. You mean at Caseware or in the Women Who Test?
At Caseware.
So I think that of my team, first of all, my team of leads, I have, out of 9 leads, I have 6 of them are women. And in the testers, out of 50 testers, I think about 30 of them are women.
That's
it
amazing.
It's tremendous. Yeah.
So Dawn wanted something for those women, but you also reached out into the community, which is what I think is amazing.
Yes.
So you opened up your home at Caseware to invite other women in from other companies so that they could come in and talk to us. So do you want to talk a little bit about what you did and then the event you held? And
so I actually approached my HR representative at Caseware, and she's a wonderful woman, Helen. Her and I both are always looking for opportunities to help the women in our organization. And I approached her and I said, first of all, let me go back to seeing you, Allison, at the Star, at last fall's Star Canada event. And I spoke to you and I asked if there was an opportunity to create a Toronto chapter. And you said, of course, by all means, Dawn, whatever you want to do. And so I went with that and I approached Helen at our company and she was very excited about it. And so working with her and with our marketing team as well, we decided to hold our very first meeting of Women Who Test in Toronto. We had this idea and we went with it. We hosted it in downtown Toronto, which made it very accessible because a lot of the community and technology community is positioned downtown. And so people were able to, because they do commute, we had the event right after work. So people were able to attend right after work. So it wasn't this added effort of having to go somewhere on a different day. We had it after work and we used the meetup platform to reach out to the technical community. And we had email campaigns and we even made a video to share on social media. So we just blasted the whole technology community with this opportunity. And we had on Meetup, we had such a great response. I think over 160 women actually joined the Meetup itself of the Women Who Test. And we had over 50 women attended and a few supportive men as well from our company. Yeah, that's it was awesome. Very, very successful.
Yeah, I love it when we get the men in the room at Women Who Test too. And because I think it's obviously career challenges and work challenges are best talked about by everybody, but it's really great for them to see. Some of them have come up to me afterwards and like, wow, you know, I really have a different perspective now hearing from these groups of women and they're just incredibly supportive. Mm-hmm. So tell us, you had a panel, is that correct? At Breaking Down the Barriers was the name of the
so
event.
So we decided, what are some of the things that women face? And it's like, we're like, you know, there's barriers that we face in work in general, in life in general. And I thought, wouldn't it be great, instead of myself just getting up and talking about the things that I've experienced, I thought, wouldn't it be great to have some other women, some other strong women that can talk about the different things that they face and how they've overcome them. So I reached out to my network. As I said, I've been in this business quite a while and I have a lot of strong women friends and colleagues. So I reached out and what we did is we created a panel of four wonderful women. I won't attempt their last names, but I will say their first names, Yvonne, Gina, Humira, and Amy, and myself as moderator. And we created this panel and we held a discussion of breaking through barriers because we do, as I said, we do find ourselves often tested by barriers in our personal life and workplaces. And it was a great evening. We had our networking, we had refreshments, we had a Q&A session. And as part of that, we had everybody received as attendee, they got their 25% off for the upcoming Star Canada testing conference. Mm-hmm. And they also were entered to win a free one-hour coaching session with Yvonne, who was one of our panelists. She has a coaching business. So one of our attendees got a free one-hour coaching session. And it was a great event. But the discussion was wonderful. We got such good feedback from that after the event. It was very interesting.
What were some of the things people said to you all after the event?
You know, we got a lot of feedback. People felt very supported and it was great for them to be able to see all different women from different backgrounds. But you know, the one common theme that was evident in the feedback that we got was inspiration. And I'd just like to quote one of the comments that was posted after the event. And it was, she said, "This was such an incredibly inspiring event. Thank you to everyone involved in making this happen. And of course, to the amazing women who shared their stories and insights with us." So I was very encouraged after that event to feel like we were an inspiration to people that attended. Yeah.
That is incredible. It just goes to show how important it is to share with people and be open and vulnerable and how far that goes so that people can feel as if they're not alone and they can relate and all those sorts of things.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. You know, when we do these days at the conference, there's a lot of camaraderie, as Dawn said, and a lot of support for each other and for people to be able to take that back into their own communities and be a leader in their own community or help their own community. TechWorld will 100% support that. We helped Dawn by sending out emails and helping her do some stuff. And it's just, that's part of what we want from these days. Yes. Is for people to keep this going and to do it in their own, to do it the ways that they want to do it within their own communities. I think, Dawn, you said one of the, you want to do another one, some another company has volunteered to do it at their organization. So you're planning on doing one maybe later in the fall.
Yes, actually, Amy, one of the panelists, she works for Shopify. And she said, Dawn, she said, we do have a group there of women, but she said, I would love to be able to hold a similar panel discussion at her business. So her and I'm going to reach out to her soon. Summer is usually a busy month for everybody. They're off with their families, but I think that it would be a wonderful opportunity to have that same format. I've found that with panels, and I know Allison yourself, like we have panels. I know you have a panel when you do the Women Who Test events at the conferences, and you tend to get a lot of interaction and a lot of conversation. Yeah. and people, women feel very supported when they see that other people are going through the same, perhaps the same challenges. And I think it would be a great opportunity to do that. So yes, definitely. I would love to have another event in the fall. And perhaps, Allison, you can make your way up here to Canada and join us.
I would love to. Yeah, I will definitely be there in late October. Absolutely. I would love to. I could not get to the first one, but I would absolutely love to do that. That would be awesome.
That'd be great.
Yeah, as long as it's not too snowy, because, you know, I'm a Floridian and I don't do snow. I'm just teasing.
When you get off the plane, we automatically give you mitts.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. No, one of the first times I went to Canada was in January. Oh. And like I was in Toronto in January. And I remember looking out of my window at the frozen sea and thinking, wow, that looks cold. And then I went downstairs with my Floridian jacket, you know, woolen coat on. And the doorman at the hotel looked at me and he's like, are you going outside like that? And I was like, well, yeah. And he's like, I think you might want to rethink that. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah. So I like went to the gift shop and bought hats and mittens and all that sort of stuff.
Take the robe or something and put it over your head.
I was like, oh, thank God you told me, because I would have been like frostbitten in about 30 seconds.
Funny. That is so funny. Yeah. That's hilarious. That reminds me of trying to go to my trip to Australia this summer in Florida, and I was holding a jacket because it's winter there, and the Uber driver looks at me like, are you okay, lady? Do you have a fever? Like, why are you holding this big jacket? It's 100 degrees outside. You know, I'm like, I'm going where it's winter, guy. You know, like, give me a break. But I think us Floridians are never prepared correctly. I don't know.
Never prepared for the cold. It's like mentally, it's really hard when you're like sweating, putting warm clothes in your suitcase. You cannot envision the level of cold that you're going to.
Yeah. You're like, I must need these fancy flip-flops. They can't possibly be that cold. Anyway. So how do you feel about thinking about maybe an exercise or a game that we could think through? Mm-hmm. Because what I liked about what you were saying is that some of this was inspired by an exercise you did with Jennifer. Mm-hmm. And how it sounded like both of you have really use that in the past to really kind of help propel you forward or have kind of a clear idea in mind. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Yeah, try absolutely. Something else or think of something else we could do.
Sure.
As well.
We love playing games, Jessie.
Perfect. So I kind of have two thoughts. One is around first kind of identifying what those barriers are, right, that are in your way. And so I was thinking that sometimes those barriers that we uncover are our inner critic. And so there's a game that I'll just explain to you all and our listeners, because it's something you could do independently on your own, or you could do it maybe at your Toronto group or mm-hmm. something like that. So basically what you would do is you just get a piece of blank paper and you think about, if I have an inner critic, what does it look like? And what would its name be? And then do your best kindergarten
drawing of, because, you know, they really don't deserve anything more than that, of your inner critic. And then if you're with a group, you could all then tear them up and throw them away at the same time. Or if you're on your own, you know, just in your own heavily padded room, you could bounce around. And when you felt like it, you could tear it up and rip it into shreds. So my thought was, if you had an inner critic, and since they wouldn't be able to see what it is we're drawing, could you envision maybe what your inner critic might look like, Allison or Dawn?
I can go first with this one, because when Jesse actually told me about this exercise before, I was like, oh my God, I have done something like this. So the 80s was all about transformational education. And I took a bunch of courses like Aston Forum. And I think this was one of the most fun and most valuable things that I did. And one of them was, I've forgotten, I don't think we called it your inner critic, but I've forgotten what we called it, but it was, that was the essence of it. Basically, you had to pick an identity, the thing that held you back the most. And then we went to a so-called cocktail party with everybody that was on this training. And we acted out our inner critic the entire time we're at the cocktail party. So you had to stay in character. Yes. And mine was worthless Wendy.
Yes.
And so like everything someone would say to me, I had to like respond as well, worthless Wendy. And what you did was, is obviously you went way deeper into that character so that you were just kind of acting that person out. The outcome of that was that it really showed you, it kind of almost got ridiculous, right? Because you're emphasizing these parts of your personality, but it also shows you how you let that specific thing pull you down, right, you know, and mine is always like, yeah. And, you know, mine was always, I would do something, I would have a great achievement. And then the end of it, I would start critiquing it. And I would get to that, well, maybe it wasn't as good as I thought. Well, maybe this, well, maybe that. And that's kind of part of that worthless Wendy character, is that part that holds me back and is constantly going, you know, I accept it. I feel great about it. I get great feedback and everything's good. And then you're like, later on, you're critiquing yourself a day later and suddenly it goes from a 10 to a 2. Right. And you're like, whatever the thing is, whether it's a project you've accomplished or something that you've done in your personal life or even a conversation you've had. So that's kind of how I realized that that inner critic held me back.
What
so
would she look like? What would Wendy look like?
She was really miserable.
Did she have shoulder pads too for the 80s?
It was the 80s, Jess. Of course she had shoulder pads. That's
really a ridiculous question. I know. It's a given, sorry.
Yeah, she did have shoulder pads. Yep. No, she was just really miserable. And I think she like had her hair like across her face because she was always kind of hiding behind her hair because she was pretty worthless.
Was it
and
too? Was
it? Yeah, it was very crimped because it was
perfect.
It was,
again, I asked a stupid question.
Big.
Big hair. Yeah.
Big hair in your face.
Yeah. And I might have had a bandana tied around my neck too because it was
perfect. Perfect. Well, rip her up. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. What about you, Dawn? Do you have one with shoulder pads as well?
No, you know, I was, while you were talking, I was thinking about what is the one thing that is my inner critic. And I was sitting here and I actually was drawing on a pad, this little girl, this little teeny girl with little hair, and thinking about what happens to me is when I'm in these situations where I'm called upon, perhaps in a meeting, to give my opinion or speak from this experience or expertise, that I find myself thinking that I'm this 2 or 3 foot tall little girl sitting in this big chair. And how could I possibly know what I'm talking about? Because I'm this little Dawn, you know? And yeah, you know, that little shy girl that I used to be, believe it or not, I was this little shy girl, always the shortest in my class, and one of those.
Welcome to the club. Yeah.
You remember in gym class where they had to do that pyramid of people, and they'd always make you get on the top.
Get on the top, because that's not dangerous. You know, not to mention it's like 3 feet between each person you got to step on to get up to the top, and your legs aren't very long.
I know, exactly. So
nobody thinks of these.
No, so that's my inner critic. That's something that I
Tiny Dawn.
Tiny Dawn. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, rip that up.
Yes.
I was trying to think what mine would be. And I was thinking, I always like second guess what I write or that I'm not like smart enough to be doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And so when growing up, my dad would always take a red pen to everything that I would do. I think that's where it comes from. So I was thinking I'm probably like,
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you.
So I decided to name my inner critic Red Pen Rhoda. Yeah. So like I'm constantly always second guessing that I've written or said something in a way that would sound dumb and a red pen would be taken to it, you know, and I would have to go start over. So I'm ripping up Red Pen Rhoda as we speak. She's gone. Hopefully for good, but if she comes back, I'll just draw and rip again. So just strike her out with a big red pen herself. Perfect. Yeah. Take that, Red Pen Rhoda.
That's right.
Anyway.
I love this game. It really helps put a visualization to that portion of yourself that is holding you back. And it's just fabulous. It's a fabulous game to play. Totally. We should definitely do that.
Yeah. Maybe we could do that at Star Canada or something.
That's a great idea. Absolutely. Great idea. We'll do it. Let's do it. So before we move on, you recently wrote a blog, Dawn, just talking about some of the barriers that women face in technology. And you did it based on your experience of talking to other women. So do you want to just quickly go over what those were?
So I have found in my own experience in my personal career and in talking with other women, as you say, that we do face in technology, we have several things that we face as women. And one of the things that I've found that we have limited access to female role models, you know, women in executive roles, because it's a male-dominated industry. And when we don't have women in these leadership roles, we reduce this likelihood of mentorship. And I think that's one of the key things that I like about my current position is that I have that ability to provide mentorship for those on my team and the women that I work with. One of the other things that we tend to face as women is that there's this persistent gender pay gap. You know, studies have shown that women are paid almost 30% less than men for the same positions. And I know recently in Canada, we've had great strides toward changing that. In Ontario, they've actually passed a bill that's supposed to go into effect by next January that pay scales will have to be published by companies. And so they're actually going to be addressing this issue with this pay gap because it'll be evident and companies will have to be made accountable for perhaps not paying someone as much as they should. And I think one of the ones that stands out to me as well when I think about barriers is this stereotypical assertive female. We have tremendous pressure to act like a man. When, especially, you know, in the office or when we go to the network events where male and females are and, you know, we wear that black suit and we have to be assertive and we have this tremendous pressure to act like that, but yet we don't want to be seen by our female colleagues as the B word. So it's kind of like we want to be feminine, but at the same time, we have to be assertive. And how do we strike that balance? So I think that's
like the tango or something.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So those are some of the barriers that are top of mind that I.
Yeah. I hear that over and over again from women in technology that they're afraid sometimes male colleagues come to them and say, well, you know, you're a little aggressive. And I think it's women and men seem to have an inner tolerance for they naturally assume that guys are going to be more assertive and more aggressive in their nature and that women should not be. It's kind of like this inner parent that says, oh, you know, women should be kind of nice and kind and polite. It also kind of applies to the workplace too, where, like you said, people are viewed as instead of just assertive, it becomes aggressive. And it is a significant barrier for many women that I talk to. And it requires constant sort of coaching and training of the people around you. And I think when it gets detrimental is when you take that on board, when you really think, oh my gosh, I am too aggressive. You need to constantly demonstrate that you can be assertive and get the job done, but this is not an emotional thing, right? This is just a directional thing.
Hmm. I feel like I've heard from other women too, who their first feedback that they get, like at the end of a year or 6 months, is that they should be more assertive at meetings when it's with all males. And then when they try and finally like get up the nerve to do that, then it backfires. Mm-hmm. And then the next mm-hmm. year they get, you know, you're too aggressive. And it's like so confusing because, yes. you know, you're like, you just told me to speak up more during these meetings. Yeah. And then as soon as I like get up the nerve to do that, I'm then penalized for it because now you're saying I'm too aggressive. So it's like these crazy mixed messages where you're like dancing in the space, trying to figure out like what the best move is and how to behave authentically without getting this kind of confusing feedback. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And you know, when we're assertive in ways like a lot of men, they're not afraid to ask for like more pay or negotiate those things and when they're negotiating contracts. And yet we as women, we feel like if we do that, that somehow we're being maybe stepping outside mm-hmm. the boundaries.
Right. Or we're yeah. mean mm-hmm. or selfish.
Exactly.
Or,
yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Like I've recommended to other women to actually train and practice for this because if it's uncomfortable mm-hmm. for you, it should not be uncomfortable right. for you, right? It should be just a negotiation. It should be just an ask. And like you said, people mm-hmm. do it all the time. And it does tend to come more naturally to men. But so yes. role play it and do it and practice till it becomes really comfortable. Cause I think people sort of sense when you're uncomfortable and they sense that weakness that they don't really need to mm-hmm. fulfill your request because you're not that serious about it. Cause you're like, oh, please, maybe if you just could. I mean, I know that doesn't happen all the time, but it's really worthwhile sort of role playing the answers and role playing your elevator pitch about why you want that raise and why you need that raise and also being creative too. I think sometimes we forget to be creative about how those right. things can come to us. It doesn't necessarily have to come through a pay raise. It could come through other things that you want in your life. And that's one of the things I like about the more modern day workplaces, that we're able to negotiate more of these things that
yes.
suit our lifestyles.
Mm-hmm. And I do think women tend to be very socially sophisticated, but I think we forget that in those situations that like, that's something I think is innate in a lot of ways. And we learn very early on. And then that's something that we have as a tool to be able to understand what the situation or what the present needs from us and how to behave. But we get into our head instead of really being like aware of the dynamics.
Right. We become tiny.
Right.
Born,
red pen Rhoda.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
I think we're coming to the end. So it's been wonderful talking to you today. Do you want to tell us what's coming up next for you?
Yeah. So,
Dawn?
So as we spoke to earlier, I want to focus on planning the next Women Who Test Toronto chapter event in October, potentially. And also I want to continue to work on my blog at qualityyardstick.ca. And provide mentorship within my current role as test manager at Caseware. And I'm looking forward to Star Canada. In fact, I'm bringing 3 members of my testing team with me, and it's their first conference. So I'm really, really excited about that. One of the members is female, and so she'll be joining me at the Women Who Test on the event on the Friday at Star Canada, which is really exciting. And I'm really looking forward to coming back from that and perhaps just working on that momentum and having even more events in the future for Women Who Test. It's a tremendous opportunity. I feel very, very fortunate to have been given that opportunity to host it and to work with you, Allison, and work with Women Who Test to be able to do this. It really adds to my career. It wasn't a sticky note on that poster, but but it's definitely something that I really feel passionate about.
That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you for talking to us today. And thank you for everything that you're doing out there in the community to help other women. It's super humbling to hear that when people come and do this work that they, mm-hmm. that it really is meaningful to them and mm-hmm. really is life-changing. So that's fantastic. And I'm so glad yes. you got to meet Jesse today. And Jesse and I are looking forward to coming to
Great.
Canada. We can't
Great.
Wait.
Bring your scarves.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, bring all
my suitcase already.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks, Dawn.
Well, that was great. I really loved some of the things that we talked about. I love the image of her being a tiny person in a small chair when we talked about embracing your inner critic and then ripping it up and throwing it in the trash. And some other parts that stood out to me were around that the new team that she manages and how she sees herself and some of the people that she's working with. Also that she started a new chapter in Toronto for Women Who Test, and she's putting together and hosting this event for women in her company, but also other companies in the area. That sounded really great.
Yeah, that was fantastic. There are so many great moments. I think one of the things that stuck out to me, I don't know about you, is that all those things that you just talked about were made possible by the fact that she described the defining moment and when she took control of her life because of the work that she did in identifying her own personal brand, and that she did that through the exercises at Women Who Test. And that really helped her move forward to really carve out the life that she wanted for herself and for her career. What do you think about that moment?
Yeah, I think that moment's great. Why don't we let them listen?
Excellent.
The defining moment for me was during the Building Your Personal Brand for Success session that Jennifer Bonin has at those, at your sessions of Women Who Test at the conferences. And she started talking about your personal brand statement. And she presented us with the handout. And I actually went through my papers this morning and I found it. I found the poster. It's a couple of years old now. Yes. And I was looking at it. And it's a poster of photos. It's about certain photos that represent goals in your life. And I was looking at the photos and she told us, she said, look at those. And I want to look at those photos and think about where you want to be in your personal and professional life. And we had sticky notes. And she said, I want you to write down on the sticky notes some things that you want to look forward to doing. And perhaps maybe when you go to a reunion in 5 or 10 years time, you will be able to tell those people, these are some things that you've done. So I did that. I had to think about where I wanted to be. And that was very hard because at that time in my life, I was in a low point. And I really thought, how am I going to do this? What do I have to look forward to? But I engaged in that exercise and I wrote down some things. And I'm looking right now at one of the sticky notes. And one of them says, I took control of my career. And I saw that this morning. I'm like, my goodness, oh, what a moment. And it really was empowering. And I realized that I could change my circumstances and gave me hope for the future.
You've been listening to Women Who Change Tech, the podcast that connects you to extraordinary women for deep, inspiring conversations.